Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new edition of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight we'll be talking with actor Hannah Cat-Jones about her role as Harlequin in the new web series Superhero Diaries. In studio, we've got two-time Eisner Award-winning artist Rick Burchett talking about his return to Batman. All that and more, stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules them all. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all.
And for those of you driving around the greater St. Louis area tonight, hearing us on the big 550 KTRS, thank you for tuning in. KTRS celebrating 25 years on the air, and we're very proud to be part of that legacy. For those of you who may be streaming us out there in the world, we appreciate your finding us there. And obviously, if you're watching on Instagram Live, if you're watching on YouTube, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, thank you very much for watching us there and keeping up with us. We've got a full show. We've got a guest on the line right now, Hannah Cat-Jones, talking about Superhero Diaries, playing Harlequin. Hannah, how are you?
Hi, I'm awesome. Thank you. How are you, James?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks so much for your time tonight. We've had Scott Zakrin on before, and we've had Phil LaMarr on, not associated with Superhero Diaries. But you are our first non-Green Lantern member of the Superhero Diaries we've had on, so thank you very much.
It is a pleasure.
And so, playing Harlequin, right out of the gate, I have to ask, as an actor, obviously you don't want to go full Arlene Sorkin, you don't want to go all the way to the movie side of it, but so where did you kind of find your character for your Harley Quinn?
I feel like there's always been a part of me that's wanted to play a crazy, eccentric, super happy, and totally totally energetic character. So I'm very excited to put myself into the Harley Quinn shoes. First off, the shoes are very important. I think we got them on Amazon. The whole point of the whole point of Superhero Diaries is to definitely bring these characters to life in the most fun and lighthearted way possible. So the outfits are all, you know, super easy to find. And basically my construction of the character was a lot of input from Scott and Zoit Media, which has been such a pleasure to work with them. And then, you know, the hair and makeup really helped. So once I put on the white clown makeup, the dark eyes, the really big red lips, I can't help but smile. I mean, the pigtails definitely help too. And I make sure that I make them super, super tight on the top of my head so that they pull my eyes back. And it's like I have a permanent smile. So it's definitely makes it a lot easier once all the hair and makeup is on. I have a really awesome giant hammer that is so much fun to play with. And
I can imagine.
Honestly, when I put on the costume, I've got the shoes, I've got the makeup, I've got the hair. But without the hammer, this giant mallet thing, I don't feel complete. So it all comes together. It all ties together. And it's so much fun playing Harley Quinn. And I feel like she's kind of allowed to be and do anything she wants. So when we film, it's really just, it's been awesome. Like Scott has been very patient with me and open-minded about my version of Harley Quinn. And like, I've been able to, you know, go on a joyride and in my car and kind of just throw the crew around in the back seat. And I've done some really fun, crazy things on set. And I'm just excited to be a part of this project.
And you're thrown into this with all these other characters. I mean, we've got two Spider-Man, obviously Batman and Wonder Woman from the first season of Superhero Diaries. What was your experience with comic books prior to this? Was it mostly with the cartoons and the movies? Were you a comic book person?
You know, being in LA, I've definitely seen a lot more of the cosplay culture in the last couple of years. Growing up, I was a huge Archie Comics fan. And so anytime I was checking out at the grocery store with my mom, I would like beg her for the Archie Comics. So that was, for me, one of my favorites. And then like the Roadrunner, I remember getting comic books like at like antique stores in Texas, like on the side of the road on the way to Austin or San Antonio. But lately I have really enjoyed doing the character research through, believe it or not, Pinterest. Seeing all the different, yes, my favorite is seeing all the different inspirations that artists have, gotten from the Suicide Squad, the movies, and also the comic books, and seeing like different versions of Harley Quinn through other different artists' aesthetics. And that really helps me with creating my personality specific to myself through like Harley Quinn, and just seeing these awesome artists like bring her to life and their version of her. So I love like seeing the versions where she has band-aids on her face, and you know, her bikini with the Joker, and all these different sides of her that people are kind of bringing to life. And I just love the culture of comic books. I love the art. I'm learning to get more involved in actually reading the comic books. I'm not really a good reader. So the comic books are actually really great for me, because most of it is just pictures, or not just pictures, but there's so much story in the pictures that it makes it a lot easier for me to spend time like getting to know the characters and seeing what's going on. And I just finished one of the Harley Quinn comic books. It's the red, black, and white one. Yeah. And it is so fun because it's all different artists and different stories. So it's kind of like a multiverse of like different Harlequins. And so it was inspiring to me to see her in all these different universes, or kind of just different iterations of her. And I'm obsessed with her. Fun to get to play her, for
but
sure.
Obsessed in a healthy way, not in a psychotic way. That's the character.
Sure.
Just to differentiate, in case anyone, but it's funny you say that the pictures are bigger. We've got, four-time Eisner Award-winning artist Rick Burchett, who he's in studio with us, and he had a huge hand in her appearance in the Batman animated series comic. You were the inker on that first issue, if I'm not correct, yeah?
That's right.
So, so he would definitely agree with you, Hannah, that the art is very important.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, without the art, you don't have a comic book.
That's right. No art, no comic book.
Oh.
Yeah. So, we wanted to have him in because we were talking about he's on the new Batman book that's out currently as the artist. So I thought it'd be fun to have him in as well. So yeah, I'm sure some of the art you're seeing out there on the boards is probably some of his work.
Wow, I don't know what to say. I get starstruck. I've been living in LA for 8 years and I still get starstruck. And just to meet someone who has brought this character to life for so many people through your art. That is so cool. It's so great to meet you.
it's I'll tell you, she's a fun character to draw. Mainly because she is so expressive and a lot of body language there. You can really go very broad with the facial expressions, which you can't do, like, for instance, on Batman, who doesn't have any facial expressions. In fact, when I draw him, he doesn't even have a lower lip. So, she's a lot of fun. I liken her to drawing Spider-Man. They're like kind of in the way you approach them, because there's a lot of humor in their physical presence, and you can play with that and have a lot of fun.
And it's kind of funny he mentioned Spider-Man, too, because in Superhero Diaries, for those of you who might not be watching this, first of all, you really should. It's hysterically, it's a lot of fun. But you kind of have a flirting thing going on with Spider-Man in one of the episodes I saw.
Yes. Well, you know, Harley Quinn is just, I think, one of the things that I love most about her is she's very open-minded about love. And, you know, it seems to me that she has just a love for humanity in a strange sense. I mean, she definitely is willing to kill someone if they ask for it. But I love the fact that she, you know, has a crush at one point, or like, you know, a relationship with Poison Ivy, one of her mm-hmm. closest friends. And she's just, I really love her. You know, she's got game.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun going on a date with Spider-Man, and Spider-Man is super, super cute, but unfortunately he's just a bit young for Harley Quinn in this universe mashup. And even though it's fun for me to play Harley Quinn and playing Spider-Man, you know, using him to get a free lunch, you know, Harley Quinn's better than that. So I know Miss Marvel definitely is more more Spider-Man's type in
sure.
in the universe of Superhero Diaries. But I definitely think that we should at some point have Harley Quinn and the Joker duke it out, or at least see some of that play out. That would be fun. I would love to have a Poison Ivy kind of interaction as well. But honestly, one of my biggest crushes on Superhero Diaries is Atom.
I didn't hear who which one?
Atom.
Atom. Okay, sorry. I didn't hear it first. It sounded like you said Ashton.
Oh, I tried to over-articulate it because I know Adam can sound like Adam, A-D-A-M, and
right.
I mean Atom, like
Atom,
A-T-O-M.
A-T-O-M, right, okay.
Yes.
I'm with you.
He's so cute.
So Harley's kind of keeping her options open is what you're telling us.
Oh, yeah, definitely, like any smart, sophisticated lady would.
And you've got a great cast behind you, and we mentioned earlier on we were talking about Phil Lamar and everything, but we're going to take a really quick commercial break. Are you okay to stick with us for another segment?
Of course. My pleasure.
Perfect. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come right back chatting more with Hannah about Superhero Diaries. Stand by.
Hey, this is Phil Lamar.
Who means Conrad?
The samurai known as Jack. And you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. This segment brought to you by our official movie sponsor, Marcus Theaters. Marcus Theaters and Movie Tavern. You can go to the website, marcustheaters.com, to find the Movie Tavern or Marcus Theaters location closest to you. You can also buy your tickets right there. Jungle Cruise is still out. The Aretha Franklin biopic, Respect. Of course, if you want something suspenseful, Don't Breathe 2 is out in theaters right now. And coming up this next weekend, Shang-Chi will be out in theaters. We've seen it. It is wonderful. I will say it's probably my favorite Marvel Origins movie since Captain America, the First Avenger. It is excellent. Easily one of my top five favorite films. You should get your tickets to go see that. One of the things I missed during the pandemic was the movie theater. It's one of those things that it's not the same no matter how big your screen is in your house, the best surround system. It's not going to match being there on opening night, watching, you know, that hammer fly into Cap's hand in Avengers Endgame and the whole theater going crazy and yelling. The movie going experience to me is just something special, and it can't be recreated. Go see a movie in the theater and do it in the best possible surroundings. If you're wanting to do something special, maybe you've got a birthday party coming up, or maybe you want to do something for a friend or a relative, you can rent a private cinema at Marcus Theater starting at $99. You and 20 people get your own theater. You pick out what movie you want to see. That can all be done through the website as well. And I'd recommend downloading the Marcus Theaters app. There's an app where you can actually, if you're out on the road and you're driving about, find the Marcus location closest to your location. And then go to that one. You can even order your concessions right there through the app, so they're ready and waiting for you for a more contactless experience at the theater. Check them out. MarcusTheaters.com. Once again, is the website for the best movie-going experience in the galaxy. We're chatting for this next segment with actor Hannah Cat Jones about Superhero Diaries. Speaking of superheroes, and we heard Phil Lamar bringing us back from commercial break. That's got to be very exciting, working with Phil, who's just ridiculously talented, not only as a voice actor, but he does a lot, so much live acting, and he's got so much experience, Mad TV and everything like that. It's got to be a lot of fun working with him.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of really amazing things about him, and I love watching him in the series, but Harley Quinn and him have not had a chance to link up yet.
So hopefully that's coming then.
I'm looking forward to that, if that's in the works. I'm not sure. But yeah, he is so, so funny. I think it's really cool that he's as talented with his voice as he is with his face and his acting. Like, you know how some people, I mean, I don't know, James, do you ever get this? Like, you got a face for radio.
All the time. All the time.
Oh, no, that's not true. You guys, if you've ever seen James live, he is quite handsome. And I think he can, like, lift cars.
Small cars, like
strong,
just
man.
The electric ones that's, you know, I don't want to brag.
A Prius. A Fiat.
Right, exactly. Maybe the new Fiats, maybe. And talk about acting, too. You must have known you wanted to do this early on, because you studied this all the way in high school and everything like that, and studied improv and everything. And obviously, improv is a huge part of what you guys are doing at Superhero Diaries. So talk a little bit about when you got bit by the acting bug.
Oh, wow. So I love this story. Ever since I was very young, like, I want to say I might have been like 6 or 7, and I went to a summer camp for acting. Like, it was a week-long kind of performance camp, and we were learning all these different routines and putting on a show on Friday for the parents. And the kids we all got to like partake in each one of the different performances. There might have been like 5 different scenes that we were all learning together. And then like the day or two before the actual performance, the camp counselors were like, you get to decide which ones you feel confident performing. So like, if you don't want to do like the dance scene, you can choose to sit out on that one. And so I didn't really feel very confident in the dance segment. So I like had decided I wasn't going to step on stage for that. And then come the day of the performance, I was having so much fun entertaining and being on stage and feeling the energy of the audience and just the whole experience of storytelling. And that, as an actor, as a performer, it isn't just about you. Like, sometimes I think when you see a TV show or a movie, you're like, oh, I want to be that celebrity actor that everybody loves and admires. But like, when you're actually doing it, it's like, it's such an amazing experience to feel that people are suspending disbelief with you and believing the story with you. And we all go kind of on this adventure together. And so this is when the acting bug bit me, because the dance scene came up and I decided I was going to do it, even though I knew I'm a terrible dancer. I mean, at 6 or 7, when you know, and so even though I knew that, I embraced it and I was like, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be funny. And so everybody starts dancing and doing the routine one way. And even though I knew it, my sort of backwards thinking was, if I do it the exact opposite way, it's not going to matter how bad I do it, because it's going to be funny that I'm doing it wrong. And so I started, acting out, and the audience started laughing super, super hard. And at this time, I'm super young, so I think there's like a little bit of wiggle room, right? Like, I would not recommend any performer who's like over the age of 10 to go out there and be like, I'm going to do the exact opposite of what the director tells me to do. But, when you're really little, those sort of things are sort of like, oh, it's okay, she's just a kid. And so after the show, I remember, parents coming up to me and my mom and being like, oh my gosh, she's so funny. And that's like one of my, like, that's like the claim to fame in my mom's eyes. Like, ever since then, I've been a celebrity to my, like, my mom's like thought, like, then like she's a celebrity. So like, it's just kind of one of those funny stories that we tell. And yeah, I grew anytime that I had a birthday or like a Christmas, if someone asked me like, what do you want for a birthday or Christmas? I'd be like, acting classes, please. And so I would, I was always involved. And then in middle school, fun fact about Hannah Cad Jones, I was actually the mascot for my middle school. And our middle school, we were the Pershing Pandas. And so I would dress up like a panda. I had a panda suit with a fat suit underneath it. So I'd put on this big fat vest, and then I would put on the furry panda suit with a big panda head. And then I'd go out on the football field and get the crowd super excited before football games and in the halftime show. And that was such a great liberating experience for me, because I realized then that if I didn't care what other people thought and I just did what I wanted to do and kind of like, again, absorbed the energy of the audience and listened to what they wanted, and then I could do whatever, like, you know, whatever it was on top of that to help them, you know, enjoy the game and loosen up and to have fun and to dance and really lift the crowd and their spirit. And so I highly recommend any kid out there or any person out there who has the ability or kind of the opportunity to try something like that, you know, get into a mascot suit and go dance your butt off in front of people. And it's so liberating. It's so much fun. Hey, you guys, Halloween's coming up. If you don't have a costume yet and you're not going to be Harley Quinn, which I, you know, Harley Quinn's a great option too, but if you're thinking about what costume, just go and find a mascot costume. Just put on a furry suit and try it out for a night. It's pretty fun.
I think that's pretty high recommendation right there. What could go wrong? I love it.
And right, what could go wrong?
As long as you don't like trespass on the high school. Hey, you're not actually our mascot, and you know. Start the
right.
whole big thing. That could also be trouble. But I love that story about you doing that. I'm gonna do the exact opposite of what I'm supposed to do. There's a little bit of Harley Quinn in that, I think.
Oh yeah, like you asked me earlier, like how did you get into character? And I think that there's a personality trait that Harley Quinn has that a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And it's really awesome to be able to put on the character and then to explore that personality trait that sometimes I feel like in society, you know, we have to act normal. We have to act, you know, very much as what is expected of us, right? Like we kind of have to do things. Yeah. And it is what it is. However, you know, as an actor, when you get an opportunity to think outside the box and make choices that are big and insane and unexpected, it is so liberating. And I think that it actually helped me a lot as a person to get to express myself this way. And that's what I love most about acting, is that it's a outlet for me to be super emotional and, you know, active physically and mentally, in a safe space where people get to kind of also experience that kind of when they get to live vicariously through me, that's
yeah.
pretty cool too. Like I feel like a lot of people probably want to let loose a little more than they can. You know, if you're working at Starbucks, you probably can't like act like a crazy person behind the cash register. But hopefully when people watch Superhero Diaries, they get to feel that and experience that sort of liberation. And in some way, I really hope that it inspires laughter. And if anything else inspires them to do something that's sort of outside of their comfort zone and find their own personal power through that.
And it definitely does that. It's a lot of fun to watch. And again, if you're listening, just go to YouTube, find Superhero Diaries, and just kick back, have some fun, enjoy the series, because it is a lot of fun. It's very funny, and it's just cool to see all these superheroes interacting and doing different things than you'd normally see them do in an animated series, movie, or comic book. And we should mention, too, before we let you go, tell people where they can keep up with you on social media handles, websites, things like that.
Yeah, so I'm on the gram, Instagram. It's at Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, K-A-T, Jones, J-O-N-E-S. My name is a palindrome. I'm pretty sure my parents were concerned that I would be dyslexic, so they gave me a name that would be easy for me to spell. Turns out I'm not dyslexic. I'm just blonde. But that's okay. The same tag, Hannah Cat Jones, is my TikTok, which I'm having so much fun learning more about and just expressing myself there. I think that's a really awesome platform and a really fun digital stage for any actors that are out there listening who are like, I want to do that. I want to perform. I want to make people laugh. Go to TikTok and make some videos and, you know, find me on TikTok and let's be BFFs on the internet. I'm on Snapchat. That's a fun one. And then, yeah, Twitter is always good. It's Hannah Dahl Jones there. But, you know, if you Google me, you'll find all that stuff. Ultimately, I just really love connecting with the audience. And I think that's what's super awesome about social media. It's this great way to actually have like day-to-day interactions with the people that, you know, enjoy my content or, you know, aspire to be entertainers too. And I love having that connection. So it really is like what we're doing with Superhero Diaries is for the audience. And that means too that if you guys watch the show and you know, see something that's funny or you have like a punchline that you want us to maybe throw into the script, we love hearing what you have to say in the comments, and we're listening, we're interacting with you as the superheroes. So I think that's a really fun aspect that Zoit Media has been known for, is just the interactive, role playing that our characters are doing live constantly, not just when we're filming, but also when you are interacting with us online.
Very true, very true. Yeah, you guys are doing a great job both interacting and with the series itself. Hannah Kett Jones, I appreciate your time tonight. It's been brilliant to talk to you. Continued success, and hopefully we'll have you on again sometime soon.
Yes, please.
Perfect. Thanks. Have a great rest of the night.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. There she goes, Hannah Kett Jones. Do recommend checking out Superhero Diaries. It is a lot of fun, and you can just go to YouTube and find it there. It's probably the easiest way to do it. And follow them on Twitter and Instagram as well. They have accounts set up for there. We're going to take our next break. We're going to come back talking with four-time Eisner Award-winning artist Rick Burchett. Please stand by.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Kind of got a Batman theme going on, so I thought you'd be wearing the Batman shirt. For those of you who are streaming, you can see I'm wearing the Batman shirt. Those of you driving down 270, if you look to your right, you can see I'm wearing the Batman shirt. Talking about our sponsors, this show would not be possible without the support of our premier sponsor, which is, of course, the City of St. Charles, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. Always something going on. I'm pulled up the website right now, discoverstcharles.com. They have the annual Sip and Savor St. Charles County Taste event going on September the 2nd. The Newtown Concert Series going on September 4th. You can get all this information by going to the website, discoverstcharles.com. Again, that's discoverstcharles.com. We're right around the corner. I know it's hot today in St. Louis, but fall's coming. That means Legends and Lanterns, October, Halloween. Their Legends and Lanterns Festival is a great deal of fun. They've got a special event going on this year, too. It's a Cajun-style New Orleans Masquerade Halloween Ball that'll be going on. It's an extra event. This one, tickets will be available. If you check the website, they've probably got information coming about when that'll happen. But you can interact and hobnob with Baron Samedi. The Voodoo Queen herself will be there. A lot of fun to be had. And during the festival itself, it's a free all-ages event. You can go out and talk to the Phantom of the Opera. Abigail Williams and Igor from Frankenstein will be there selling you body parts. It's a great deal of fun. Always something going on. And the food up and down St. Charles Main Street, there's no matter what you're hungry for, you'll find it along the Main Street. Check out the website. Once again, discoverstcharles.com. As we always say here, it's an historically good time. Keeping with the Batman theme again, we've got Rick Burchett. He's back again. We had him on last time with Dan Slott, and got him here now talking. One of the things we wanted to talk about is he's taken over from Ty Templeton on Batman. I think it's called Batman: The Adventures Continue. Season 2 is the official title of the book.
Right. Yeah. Ty had already done season 1. That's what they do now. Instead of launching a regular monthly, they'll launch a limited series, in this case 7 issues, and see how the sales are. And if the sales are good, they'll do a season 3.
Yeah, which hopefully it would, because I think that nostalgia we're seeing, people buy up the Batman stuff like crazy. You were just at Planet Comic Con. We chatted with you there for a bit, and you said people were buying a lot of the Batman artwork, your original artwork.
Yeah, the audience hasn't gone away. We had a huge audience when we did the original Batman Adventures, which was 25 years ago now. And it was a very, very loyal audience. They stuck with us. They bought the books constantly. And they're hungry for it. They're hungry for the material. They're hungry for stories that are done in one issue. They're hungry for the art style. They like that. So they haven't gone anywhere.
And we were just at Terrificon in Connecticut at the beginning of the month, and they had Diane Pershing, who voiced Poison Ivy.
Right.
They had Lauren Lester, who voiced Robin and Nightwing. And they had Robert Costanza, who voiced Bullock.
Uh-huh.
And the lines for those three people just wanting to get them to sign either a Batman comic or one of the Batman action figures and everything.
Yeah.
Is that, and obviously the sales must have been good on the first run because they're doing a season two.
Yeah.
As an artist, did they ever, hey, we're doing really well, we're planning, did they give you any insight as to how the book is doing itself?
They don't offer any information.
Okay.
There are ways to find out, but you have to do it pretty much on your own. They don't come to you and say, hey, the book's really, because they're afraid that if you know the book is doing well, that you may ask for a raise or something. And they don't want that. So, it's not held in secrecy or anything, but you have to find it on your own.
And one thing I noticed when you were at Planet Comic Con, you had, as we were waiting there and chatting with you, some guy came up because he'd commissioned a Scarface and Ventriloquist sketch from you in the animated fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So I see you're constantly doing sketches at these conventions for people.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't, so that's not like, oh, I've forgotten how to draw Batman in that style. So this must be something just like riding a bike, I take it, when you're getting back on a book like this, yeah?
Well, especially this art style. It's broken down. It's very iconic. It's very by the numbers, that this does this and this. The lines are a certain way and they curve at a certain point. Because that's the way the characters are designed, so a lot of people can draw them when they animate them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not, there's not a lot of give and take to it. You know, these characters are supposed to look a certain way, and that's the way you draw them. And the readers don't like it if they don't look what we call on model.
Right.
That was my job initially in the original Batman Adventures. DC wanted me to come in because originally the book was going to be a 3-issue miniseries, and they were going to have a different penciler on each issue, and I was going to ink all three and be the continuity cop, make sure everything stayed on model. I would have the final cut on things.
Hmm.
So that was originally my job. I found the art style real easy to mimic, and 25 years later, I'm still doing it.
Is that a good thing? Are you? I can imagine you can't. I would think you can't get tired of drawing Batman, but I'm not an artist, so I guess you could get tired of drawing Batman.
Well, I never wanted to draw Batman.
Hmm.
That was the ironic thing. Is it's not that I didn't like the character. It's just that I didn't see there was anything I could bring to it that hadn't already been done.
Yeah.
I didn't have any really urge to say, oh, I'm going to go in and do my version of Batman and make his ears 4 feet long.
Kelly Jones.
Yeah, exactly. and so when this came, fortunately, I had seen the little 2-minute pilot that they had done, that Bruce Timm had done. And I had seen it, a bootleg copy of it, about 6 months earlier before I got the call. And so they said, we're going to do a book, because I didn't know they were doing a book. We're going to do a book, and we'd like you to be part of it. And I thought, wow, this is great. So Warner Brothers Animation sent me everything possible on the early days. I mean, model sheets and storyboards and background paintings. And I have the largest collection of Warner Brothers stuff, in the Midwest, easy. And so that I would be able to keep things on model. And I found it very easy to fall into that. Now, the problem is, it's a career killer.
Hmm.
It's much like being an actor and being known for a certain role and you're typecast.
Hmm.
So when a job comes up and they're looking for an artist and they say, no, we don't want that cartoony stuff. We don't want the animated stuff. They think that's how you draw.
Hmm.
Rather than it being a style that you adapt to for a certain job. So it pretty much killed my career. And there was some animosity on my part toward the whole thing for a while. And then as time went on, I thought, if you got to be connected to something, this is not a bad thing to be connected to.
Yeah.
People like this stuff, and they like it a lot. And so I've kind of just, you know, just kind of said, okay, fine. If this is my lot in the business, then I'll, you know, if they ask me to do it, I'll do it. If I get the opportunity to do something else, I'll do that too. But it is, yeah, for a while it was pretty rough because it really did stifle any kind of jobs that I would get that, you know, and I would even, you know, put myself out there for jobs and get a polite no thanks. So it was, you know.
That's interesting, though, because like we just talked about off air before we started the show that your next year you'll be celebrating 40 years in the business.
Uh-huh.
And to think you've been doing Batman for roughly half of that?
No, not even half of it.
Not even half?
The run on Batman Adventures and then Batman, you know, all that stuff. There was a 15-year run.
Okay.
Basically, when I did, I at least introduced all the Batman animated books and the Superman animated book. And did work on the Justice League animated book.
And Batman Beyond.
And the first three issues of Batman Beyond. So, you know, I was pretty much tied into that stuff. I was kind of I became the central piece for that whole run of books. And so it was there, but it's 15 years out of 40.
Yeah.
So I've done some few other things.
Right. Well, again, now, because that's what I was thinking, your run on She-Hulk was fantastic. Yeah. We had you and Dan Slott talking about that, and that's obviously was post-Batman.
Right.
So is that when things started to go back on the upswing
for you? No, they never did. They never did. I did She-Hulk for a year. I did Black Hawk for 2 years. I did the Black Hood for 2 years. I did the Justice League for 2 years with Dan Juergens. And then I've done various sundry other books, fill-ins and things over the years. I was the kind of utility infielder for the Bat Group for a long time. And when they needed a fill-in or they needed somebody to come and bring a book in on time, something that was very late, they would call me and I would do that. I was kind of a fireman. I'd put out the fires. But that, you know, again, that's just scattershot. That's not a long time on a single book or a single character. Mm. And to give the reader a chance to equate your style with you, basically. So it was, you know.
And you've got such a fluid style. It's a very smooth, like, obviously, like you said, It's easy to lend yourself to the Batman animated style,
but
it's a far cry from what you did on She-Hulk, which is a very lovely, just, it's not like a John Byrne, like you think of certain things, your image of She-Hulk is kind of, you can see it in your mind versus the John Byrne versus, you know, the savage look and everything like that.
Yeah.
So
I tend to streamline things, and especially on She-Hulk, because I wanted to try to approximate the artist who had been on the book before. I didn't want to draw like him, but I wanted to have certain aspects of my work echo his so it wouldn't be a big bump for the reader. So they wouldn't come in and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here? And I try to do that on every book. I try to take in consideration the type of book it is, who did it before, what is the editor looking for, what is the writer looking for. So there are a lot of elements that go into taking over a book, and you've got to kind of be kind of malleable. You got to be versatile. But unfortunately, versatility can also kill your career.
Yeah.
Because people don't know who you are.
Because
I tried to figure this out, and I think the equation I've come up with is to be known in the comics as an artist, you either have to have a very distinctive style, like Walt Simonson, for instance, or you have to be connected to a single character or book for a long period of time.
Dale Keown on the Hulk or Ron on Silver Surfer.
And I don't have either one of those things. I bounced around so much, you know, doing 2 years here and 2 years there, and changing my style every time I did, that people just don't know who I am.
Hmm. It's interesting, though, like you said, mimicking kind of a little bit about what the artist did. Because I feel like I can't remember the artist's name now who took over penciling on The Incredible Hulk after Dale Keown left. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like it looks similar. It's very similar, but yeah. It was not as it didn't have that.
Right.
Gorgeousness about it. I guess it's Dale Keown has a very certain style, and it was close, but it's I never thought about it at the time, but I guess that's something that either the company will say, hey, we want to kind of keep it in the same style, but or is that something you were just like, I don't want it to be a shock to the reader. Is it okay?
It was my choice.
Okay.
On She-Hulk, anyway. It was my choice because that was my first work for Marvel.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to kind of cement a relationship there and wanted to create goodwill and all that stuff. And one way to not create goodwill is to come on a book and have the readers write in saying, this new guy is terrible because he, you know, he doesn't look anything like he used to. It's a tightrope you have to walk between self-expression and pleasing the reader. There are people who don't care about pleasing the reader. They just want to draw the books their way and do it, you know.
Yeah.
They really don't care, and they get by just fine.
Hmm.
I look on comics as a performance art. What I'm trying to accomplish, basically, is to convince the reader that these ink lines on a piece of paper are people that have emotions and that do things and have bad things happen to them, have good things happen to them. That, to me, that's my ultimate goal, is to make them forget that they're looking at ink lines on a piece of paper. And to that end, I have to kind of feed into their psyche at times. Howard Chaykin paid me a very big compliment one time. He said that he thought my characters were good actors, which that's kind of what I'm shooting for.
Huh.
I want them to be good actors. I want them to look like they're saying what's in that little word balloon above their head.
And Howard Chaykin said that.
Yeah.
Usually he's very crabby.
Howard has said a lot of nice things about my artwork that I still don't quite understand.
No, Howard's a lot of fun, though. He's a great guy
to talk to. He's really, really, he's been very nice to me, and he doesn't understand me because he'll be ranting about something, and I'll be standing there laughing at him, and he'll say, you're laughing, and I'll say, yes, I am. He said, why? I'm serious. I said, it's funny. So he's one of my heroes, and to know that he thinks that I do something well is a big deal for me.
Yeah, I'd say someone like him in the industry, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're talking for the rest of this hour with Rick Burchett. If you want to give us a call, too, by the way, the phone lines are open. If you have a question for Rick about art or anything like that, you can call 314-931-5877. The KTRS text lines, if you want to text a question or a comment, 84126. Just put like a note. This is Jane from Florissant, and I have a question about whatever it is. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back, continue chatting with Rick Burchett after this. 4-time Eisner Award winner, Rick Burchett. Please stand by.
This is Ed Asner, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio. I can't tell you how exhausting it's been humoring this geek. He is terribly costly and time-consuming. I ask for mercy, and there is none to be had with this geek.
Very, very sad to learn that we lost Ed Asner earlier today. We had him on the show just prior to his 90th birthday, just, I guess, 2019. And that interview is up online, geektomeradio.com. Joey, what episode number was that? 159, if you want to search through the archives. But geekmeradio.com, you can go there and check out our interview with the late, great Ed Asner. What was your favorite Ed Asner show or project or movie?
I hate Spunk.
Mary Tyler Moore. Gotta love it. It's a classic.
Actually, I liked Lou Grant, too.
Yeah.
A lot. That was really a good show.
One of those spinoff series that never gets enough love.
Yeah, it was an unusual spinoff series. Dramatic show spun off from a sitcom.
Yeah, very kind of unique in that aspect.
Uh-huh.
We had a call come in, not a call, a message come in when Joey was at Facebook from Bob Singleton. Is listening, and he wanted to know, Rick, if you have ever done, like, storyboard animation type, live action type thing?
I have. I did storyboards for two episodes of Justice League Unlimited.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did.
Which episode? Do you remember?
Patriot Act and Grudge Match.
Oh, that was a good one.
Just about the end of the run. You know, it was the last season, and Bruce Timm suggested to the director that I try some storyboarding, and it was fun.
Hmm.
I mean, I'd done a lot of storyboards working in advertising, so it wasn't, you know, like new, but they have their ways of doing things that they didn't tell me about.
Hmm.
So it was a little confusing, but it's nice. It's really weird to see your name on credits of something like that.
Yeah.
It's you don't expect it, and then when you see it, it's like, oh wait, oh yeah, I did that.
Pause the DVD at that point and point. Look, there's my name.
Yeah,
that's got to be very cool. And we should mention too, you are taking on the art for Batman: The Adventures Continue season 2. So go to your local comic book stores. And if you have, if this is a book you're getting anyway, put in a pre-order. Go see Justin's Comics right over here in St. Charles, wherever your local comic book store is. If you're listening to this outside the greater St. Louis area, let them know you want to pre-order this, because if this book does well, then they're going to give us a third series, and that would be great.
Yeah, and they're doing a new Batman animated series for television, for our HBO Max, which will be... We don't know what it'll be. It'll be Batman in his early days. The look will be very different.
Mm.
And I suspect that, all things being equal, DC will do a book based on that. But I'm, you know, they could very well do a third season of Batman Adventures while that gets up and running.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can never have enough Batman books. I mean, that's their bread and butter.
Yeah, boy. Well.
We have Batman. We have Detective. We have The Dark Detective is out. There's a miniseries. There's Batgirl, Nightwing.
There's
a ton of Bat books.
Yeah. There's a lot of Bat guano out there.
So
can I say guano?
You can say guano. Oh, okay. That's actually perfectly acceptable on air. The FCC won't say a thing. Yes.
Okay, good.
I almost said FAA. That's not right. FAA is the airplane. Oh, I'm thinking. And I know we've just got a few minutes left, but we were talking about how, you know, your style and everything, working, you kind of had a slump after, you kind of associated with it as kind of typecast, as they say. But then you work on these independent projects, like the one you did with Greg Rucka, The Pirates of the Ineffable Ether.
Uh-huh.
That's got to be very rewarding then, because you're kind of your own boss on something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm my own boss, except for Greg. So, yeah. But yeah, Lady Saber was, it was great fun, very, very gratifying, and we learned a whole lot doing that, mostly about the internet and web comics and things like that. We had a very successful campaign on Kickstarter to put together a print version of the first third of the story, and so it was a lot of fun. Greg and I are now putting together a book for Image that will be out next summer, probably.
Oh,
at this
very
point.
Cool.
Yeah. We've gotten the green light to do it, and the first issue is already drawn. And we'll just see how it goes. It's something very different for both of us, especially for me. And I would tell you what it's about, but I'm really not sure. I don't even know how to explain. It's okay. It's an anthology book with a continuing character.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like the movie Four Rooms, then, because it's an anthology movie, but Tim Roth is the constant character throughout each
right.
of the four
yeah,
scenes.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like that.
But ours travels in time too. With the same character.
Huh. Okay.
So, we'll see.
And it's from Image Comics, and you said the first issue should be out in summer of 2022.
In the summer, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got some time to kind of fine-tune the book.
Well,
and get a couple more issues
because,
under your belt.
Yeah, because Greg is going to be going decamping to Australia in the spring to shoot The Old Guard, number two.
Oh, that's right.
And he will have to be on set for that for 2 months or so. So he's going to have all the scripts to me before he leaves.
So he's going to have to chop, chop, get that done. So he can go on his little movie vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
Big, he's not going to bring you with him, though.
Big shot producer.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He could at least bring you along. That's
I asked him if he needed an assistant. He
no.
just looked at me and snorted.
Well, that's Greg for you. But no, that'd be fun. Actually, if we obviously want you back before summer, but it'd be kind of fun to have you guys on. Maybe if both you want to be on the spring to promote the book before it comes out, we can work that out.
Yeah, yeah. Greg would love to do that.
Perfect. And as always, we love having Rick in studio with us. Social media handles, websites, anything like that you want to give out for people to keep up with you?
I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter. And if you type in my name, I'll probably show up.
Perfect. It's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming in the studio.
My pleasure.
And thanks again to Hannah Cat Jones. Check out Superhero Diaries on YouTube. And make sure you get out there and pre-order the Batman, The Adventures Continue Season 2 at your local comic book stores. Until next week, my friend.
It's not in the way you love Scotty Young Art. It's not in the way you play Mario Kart. It's not in the way you look when you make Game of Thrones references.
Night.
Hey kids, are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome bit.ly/geektome